Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett. Hope your week is going very well, and hope that the Lord is blessing you and encouraging you. We have been going through an exciting series on building our faith, and it could be called Living Large, but I kind of avoid that, but I want to have to have big faith. And I want us to understand that with big faith, there's some things that happen in our lives. And then again, big faith is not faith in myself. It's not a lot of this self-confidence. It's a confidence that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. And if I really believe that, I can be persistent. I can determine to finish the task that God has placed before me. Now, there's a Chinese proverb that says, the person who said that it cannot be done should not interrupt the person that is doing it. If you're living a life with big faith, you're going to be doing some things. You're going to be persistent, as we talked about in the broadcast yesterday. And today I want to talk to you about the fact that you're going to not only be persistent by having big faith, but you're also going to trust the big promises of God. Now, anything worthwhile in life to be done will take a lot of effort, energy, and endurance. Nothing worthwhile in life is easy. You know, I have to sometimes have my little pity parties, and I think if you're honest, you'll admit it that you do it as well. But oftentimes we have a pity party because we have forgotten a promise of God. We've got discouraged because we've looked at circumstances instead of looking at Christ. But you don't give up. When you have this understanding that God has this big promise that he wants to give us, then we won't give up. You know, great people are just ordinary people with an extraordinary amount of determination. It's not the real bright people sometimes that God uses. Sometimes it's the people who just refuse to quit. Those who don't give up. Those who hang in there. You know, you think about an acorn. Do you know how an acorn becomes an oak tree? An oak tree is just a little nut that refused to give up when it was buried. When a sculptor is making a sculpture, he starts and he looks at this big rock and he starts hitting it. That first hit doesn't create Michelangelo's David. He had to beat it and hit it and sculpt away a little bit at a time. It is a long, painstaking process to create a masterpiece. And there's a long process of God creating a masterpiece in our lives. So don't lay down on the sidelines in the race of life. Don't get tripped up and say, I'll just sit here for a while. I'm going to rest. Resist discouragement. You know, there's a true story about a Welsh woman. And before I started this illustration, I want you to know that when you understand the promises of God, you realize that God does different things in different times, and it doesn't change the rightness of things or the wrongness of things. What was wrong 2,000 years ago is still wrong today. What was right 2,000 years ago is still right today. But God uses different methods. There's a true story about a Welsh woman who lived in a remote valley in Wales. She went to a great deal of trouble and expense to have electrical power installed in her home. However, after a couple of months, the electric company noticed that she didn't seem to use very much electricity at all. Thinking there might be a problem with the hookup, they sent a meter reader out to check on the matter. The man came to the door and says, "We've just checked your meter and it doesn't seem that you're using much electricity. Is there a problem?" "Oh, no," she said. "We're quite satisfied. We turn on the electric lights every night to see how we can light our candles in the fireplace, and then we switch them off again." You see, many people are living that way when it comes to their matter of faith. They have faith in Christ to believe that he's going to bring about salvation, but then they go right back to living their own lives in their own strength. Listen, big faith in our lives does create a big dilemma. It creates friction, it creates misunderstanding, but it also produces some amazing promises. Now, one day a Roman officer came to Jesus and he says, "I have a servant who's very ill. In fact, he's paralyzed and he's suffering in bed." Jesus says, "I'll go to your house and I'll heal him." The Roman centurion says, "Oh no, Lord, you don't need to do that. I understand authority and I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. But I know this, if you just say the word, he will be healed." This man says, "I'm a captain in an army. I give commands to my soldiers, and they obey immediately. I make commands to my servants, and they follow immediately. They do whatever I tell them to do." So I understand authority. I understand obedience. So Jesus, you don't need to come to my house. If you just say the word from right here, I'm sure he'll be healed instantly. Jesus looked at this man and said, "This is the greatest faith I've ever seen in Israel." What a powerful story. of a man who trusted God for the healing of his son. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33, it says that we're to follow all the directions that the Lord has given you, then your life will go well. Well, the story of that centurion is found in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Now, I want to read this so that you understand the context of where we're going today in the broadcast. Luke 7, verse number 1. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued slave of a Roman officer, that's a centurion, was sick and near to death. When the officer heard about Jesus, he sent some respected Jewish elders to ask him to come and heal his slave. So they earnestly begged Jesus to help the man. If anyone deserves your help, he does, they said, for he loves the Jewish people and even built a synagogue for us. So Jesus went with them, but just before they arrived at the house, the officer sent some friends to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself by coming to my house, for I am not worthy of such an honor. I am not even worthy to come and to meet you. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am a man of authority. I have officers under me, and I have authority over soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to the crowd that was following him, he said, I tell you, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And when the officer's friends returned to the house, they found that the slave was completely healed. Now, this is an amazing story when you think about it. We see the greatest faith is found not in a Jew, but in this centurion. Why? Because faith and obedience are interlocked. When you trust somebody to do what they say they're going to do, you obey what they say they're going to do. If you don't trust somebody what they are going to say, you don't follow through with what they suggest you do. You see, God has linked faith and obedience together so that all the promises of God are conditioned upon you following the directions that he gives. I remember as a kid, we used to sing that song, Trust and Obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. They are connected. Don't tell me you have great faith, but you're not living in obedience. If I trust God completely, I obey him fully. You see, when you think about the promises that God has given us, God promises us some things if we obey him. Now, this is what it says in Proverbs 16:20. God blesses those who obey him. Faith and obedience should travel side by side, step by step, legs of walking men. As we have faith, then we have obedience. And as we have faith and obedience and they work together, we're not going to be walking around in circles. We're going to be making progress in our lives. Proverbs 7:10 says that God saves those who obey him. Proverbs 33:18 says, the Lord watches over those who obey him. That is, he protects them. The Lord takes care of those who obey him. Psalm 7:9 says, you will help all those who obey you. John 3:23 says, God gives us what we ask for because we keep his commands. Psalm 28:14 says that we are happy if we always obey the Lord. You'll always be happy. So there's happiness that comes with obedience. Psalm 19 tells us that if we keep God's law, we will live longer. Psalm 34:10 says that those who obey the Lord lack nothing. Psalm 34:9 says those who obey him will have all of their needs taken care of. We learn that we will live in perfection. Psalm 119:45, we'll have greater wisdom. Psalm 119:100, we'll dwell in security and in peace. Proverbs 1:33, we will be prosperous. Joshua 1:8, we'll have the greatness of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:19, and we will be rewarded. Proverbs 13:13. You see, God gives us his promises by grace, but we enjoy his promises when we follow the directions, the instructions. You know, throughout the Bible, there are promises after promises given to us. Here's just a couple of the promises that are given us in God's word. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever rests in it will be satisfied. Proverbs 10:27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongs our lives, but the years of the wicked will be cut short. Psalm 25:14. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. He makes known to them his covenant. Psalm 128, verse number 1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Psalm 106, verse 3 says, blessed are those who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Luke 11:28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who practice it have a good understanding. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Well, how do I receive these big promises that God has in store for me? How can I tap into these promises? You know, God often gives us rules and commandments in his words, and they're not suggestions, they're commands, but he doesn't often explain why. He wants you to do it in faith. He wants you to trust him in faith. Sometimes they sound unfair. They sound like they're meant to cramp my lifestyle. Maybe that God is some kind of a killjoy that he's limiting me. For example, the Bible is very clear that all sex outside of marriage is sin. It's real clear in the scriptures over and over again. Sex is designed and set aside for husbands and wives, male, female, in the bonds of marriage. You see, the Bible says when somebody hurts you, you're forgiven. The Bible says you're to take the first 10% and tithe back to God. The Bible says when people do evil to you, you're to do good back to them. All these things are given to us with a promise. When you think about how can I tap into these big promises? Maybe you have listened to some of these promises. Man, I would love to have some of those promises in my life. How do I go about being able to get these promises that God has offered to us? Well, first step is you've got to obey God immediately. Don't delay. Procrastination, I think, is the sin of the average American Christian. We're going to get around to it one day. As a matter of fact, years ago, I had this campaign that we did in our church, and I made up these little buttons, and these buttons said, just round to it. It's a round to it button. And I said, what in the world does that mean? Well, so many times you ask people, hey, would you come to church? I said, well, I will. As soon as I get around to it, I'll be glad to come. And so I told our people in our church, I said, take these buttons and hand them to all your friends who say, I'm going to come to church when I get around to it. And says, here is your round to it button right now. Would you come with me this Sunday? Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. You see, we're king of making excuses. Psalm 119, verse 32, David says, I will quickly obey your commands. Psalm 119, verse 60 says, without delay, I hurry to obey your commands. Now, you don't have to understand something to benefit from it. And many times, I think we delay obedience because we don't understand the benefit of obedience. Now, I don't understand for the life of me how heavy planes fly in the air, but I fly. I don't understand how computers work, but I sure use them all the time. I don't understand how an internal combustion engine can go in my car and be driven for years. The car that I'm driving right now has over 200,000 miles on it. I don't understand how that car could run that long without blowing up, but I tell you what, it just amazes me, so I just jump in there and I enjoy it. I don't have to understand everything about something to enjoy it. I don't understand everything there is to know about my wife. You know, the Bible says to husbands that we're to dwell with our wives according to understanding. I have not figured her out completely. Now, I know her better now than I did when we first got married, but I still don't understand her completely. But that doesn't mean I don't enjoy being with her. I thank the Lord for her. You know, every parent knows that you'll tell your children something and they'll say, why should I do that? And you say, because I said so. Well, behind those four words, you're actually saying, because your little pea brain isn't big enough to understand it, and one day you'll understand it, and you'll have this reality of knowing why you should do it, but for right now, just trust me. I know better than you. I'm doing this for your own good, so you do it. You know, all of that is, behind that is, I don't want to do something. You know, we all have that. We all have that. I don't want to do something. Only immature people go by their feelings. Immature people will base all of their lives on how they feel. You know, feelings are great, and God has wired us emotionally so that we feel joy, we feel sadness. As a matter of fact, we're told in Scripture that we're to rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep. When you think about emotionally immature people, they're ones who are constantly living on their feelings. You know, kids are born knowing how to play the game of delayed obedience. They're playing this game or a video. Whenever you say, come to dinner, the first game they play is they play deaf, right? Oh, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you say that. You know, we do it all the time with God. I can't hear you, God. He's talking to you loud and clear, but I'm not listening. You're trying to pretend you're deaf when you know God is talking to you. You know he's talking to you like he is right now. The second game kids play would imagine that mom is talking to somebody else. Oh, you meant for me to come to dinner? Who do you think I meant? The little fairy in the corner? We do this with God often. The verse here in the Bible is surely that's not for me in my circumstances. No, that's for somebody else. That's for somebody a long time ago in a faraway land. Surely you're not talking to me, are you, Lord? In order to delay our obedience, you see, when we delay our obedience, it means that we're questioning God. Do you really know what's best, God? I know you said this in the Bible, but do you really know what's best? And do you really have what's best for me in mind? Surely you don't mean me when you said that. You see, I've discovered many adults use counseling as a way to delay obedience. Now, I'm not against counseling, so don't take this the wrong way. Counseling is great. Christian biblical counseling is great. But I know some people have been in counseling for marriage for a long time, and their marriage is not any better than it was when they started going to counseling. Now, that's why I tell people, I will do counseling, but it's going to be short and sweet. If we can't solve your major problems within 4 or 5 sessions, another 10 or 12 is not going to change them. You see, so many times we know the right thing to do, but we don't do it. So they keep going to counseling and going to another counselor thinking, if I just keep talking about these issues, I'll eventually do the right thing. No, you just need to confess, repent, forgive, and move on. You talk to somebody, well, how long have you been to counseling? 99 years. Man, I could have saved you 98 of those years. You've just done the right thing the first year. You see, you're using that delay. You know what the right thing to do, and you're not doing it. Well, here's a question. What if God responded to your needs at the same speed in which you obey him? You see, when we get in trouble, we want God to help out immediately. God, I need your help now, and I need it fast. And God would say, well, I'll think about it. I'll get around it to one of these days, but right now I'm a little busy. I intend to help you, but it'll be a little bit while longer. You see, if you want the blessings of God in all the areas of your lives, you must obey him. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Well, here's the second thing. If you want to be tapping into the promises of God, you have to obey immediately, but you have to obey God completely. David put it this way in Psalm 119, verse number 4. Lord, you gave your orders to be obeyed completely. You see, God's standard of right and wrong has never changed. It never will. If something was wrong 6,000 years ago, it's still wrong today. You see, God's truth doesn't change. Culture changes and popular opinion changes and lots of things change, but God's truth does not change. It is eternal forever. And what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong, regardless of what the popular opinion says. You know why this is so important is because God has a much bigger perspective than we do. You see, he sees things that you can't see, and he sees things that I cannot see. You're trying to see from God's perspective would be like an ant trying to see you from your perspective. It isn't going to happen. You're not capable of seeing it all like God sees it all. You need to trust him. James 4:11, your job is not to decide whether God's law is right or wrong. Your job is just to obey it. The oldest temptation is not lust, but lying. The oldest temptation is this temptation to doubt God's word. You see, when Satan came to Eve in the Garden of Eden, his first temptation was, did God really say you shouldn't eat of this tree? You can eat of anything else in the Garden of Eden, but you're not to eat of this tree. Did God really say that? You see, how many of us are not very detailed when it comes to God's instruction? You need to deal with the details. You know, I by nature have got to admit that I'm not a very detailed person, not in the slightest. As you're thinking about this person you're listening to on this radio, you're listening to Exhibit A of a person with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. I am not into the details of life, but you know what God is? God is a detailed person. God cares about the little things of life. God cares about the details. Surely in your spare time, you've done an exhaustive study of the book of Leviticus. As you read the book of Leviticus, you see that God cares about details. Have you ever looked at nature? I mean, you pick up a little flower and you look at the intricate detail of that flower. God cares about details. The Bible says that every hair on your head is numbered by God. God cares about details. Because God is a God of detail, He is infinitely interested in every detail of your life. He is interested in you, and when you obey Him, He knows how much you obey Him. He knows the level of your obedience. So why not obey Him fully? Are you doing it right away, and are you doing it for all the right reasons? Let me give you an example. My wife says to me, "I want you to move Ann's double bed from upstairs to downstairs in our house. But wait until Nathan and Josh comes home from school so they can help you get it downstairs." And I think, I can do this on my own. I'm macho. I don't have to wait. So I get the box spring and a mattress in this huge frame, and I start scooting it down the stairs by myself. But because I can't get it all the way down by myself, I start scratching up the side of the wall, knocking a few holes in the wall, and kicking all the pictures off the wall. I get to the bottom of the stairs, and she's upset with me. I'm not saying that this is a true story, but this is maybe a hypothetical situation, shall we say. And she says, what's the big deal? I did what you asked me to do. I got the bed downstairs. And she says, yes, but you didn't do it the way that I asked. Let me tell you, what is love? Love is when you say, I'll do it the way you want it done. That's love. I will do it the way you want it done because I love you. And faith is, I'll do it the way you want it done because I trust that you know the best way to do it. You see, when you love God, you trust Him fully. You know, God, you say, I'll do it. I'll obey completely. I'll do it the way you want me to do it. And why am I doing that? Because I love Him. The Bible is very clear in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, that we're to trust the Lord from the bottom of our hearts. Don't try to figure out everything out on your own. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. You know, one day there was a man, and his name was Naaman. Naaman was ill, and he had leprosy. He was a man of great stature. And he went to Elijah, and he says, I'm very famous. I'm a very famous dude, but I've got a problem. I've got leprosy. What do I need to do? Elijah said, I'll tell you what. Just go and show your faith. God wants you to go down to the River Jordan and dunk yourself under 7 times. Naaman says, you got to be kidding me. That is humiliating. Elijah says, yes, it's humiliating. It's humbling yourself before God. On the last time that you come up, you'll be cured of your leprosy. Was there special power in that water? Absolutely not. It was because he was obedient to God. He had faith and he obeyed God. If you'd like to read the rest of that story, that fascinating story of what happened to Naaman, it's found in 2 Kings chapter 5. If I had more time in the broadcast, I'd read it, but I want to finish up by giving the last point today. We've learned so far today, if we're going to tap into God's promises, we've got to obey God immediately, completely, and then number 3, we've got to obey Him joyfully. I love what it says in Psalm 100, verse number 2, obey Him gladly. Psalm 119, verse 16, I enjoy obeying your commands. Psalm 119, 47, I find pleasure in obeying your commands. Why? Because I'll have fewer problems. I'll also be rewarded, and it will give me the opportunity to tell the whole world that I love God. You know, loving God means you're doing what He tells you to do. Obey God, and you will discover that He will constantly deliver the promises that He has given to us. In Psalm 119, 112, David says, I am determined to obey Him until I die. You know, life is not a 50-yard dash, it's a marathon. If you obey God sporadically, you'll see God bless you sporadically. If you obey God year after year after year, you'll discover that your life will be blessed year after year after year. Psalm 119, David says, I am determined to obey you until the day that I die. You see, you have a choice. I have a choice. Are you going to obey God to the day that you die? If you do, you'll discover that God will bless you beyond your wildest imagination. Paul said, I have got to learn to obey the truth of God. I have learned this. This is a learning process. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today. My prayer is that you will live in obedience, trusting and obeying our God.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.